Since the GPS is the global positioning system, we'll talk about a godliness positioning system, a spiritual GPS. And it's going to be something that I think a lot of Christianity misunderstands. They understand it to a degree, but I hope today, by the time we're done, you'll understand it to a different degree. I think it's important that we bring it home. Okay, and there's a lot of things that we all agree on, and we shake our heads to out there a ways, but we need to bring it right home in our lap, right where it needs to be. And I think you'll agree that when we get done here, that this is a very simple principle, but it needs to come home. And I think this will be a very practical GPS for you to use spiritually in your life. I have used it numerous times, and yet in preparing this sermon, it came home a little more, and I had to stop and evaluate my life in light of this principle to see if indeed I had been faithful to it. In Galatians 1:10, it says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." In 1 Thessalonians 2:15, it talks about the Jews who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. That's the way the world is. They please whom they wish in order to ultimately please themselves. Now, there's a lot of Christians who say, I only please God. I don't worry about pleasing men. And they base it on what Paul said here. But how far does that hold true? In the context of what Paul was saying, it was perfectly appropriate. But turn to Luke chapter 2, and I'll show you something that, as far as a guidepost for your life, this is what you need to look at. The Apostle Paul was an apostle and a preacher, and he wasn't preaching to please men. That's what he was referring to. Okay? He was preaching to please God, but in reality, he was preaching to please men. There's a sense in which he was. He was not pleasing the ungodly men, but if in my preaching I was not concerned about pleasing you, I might talk about things that should not be talked about in a mixed audience. That would not please you. That would hinder my preaching. It's important that I use manners. Okay? It's important that I use things that are ethical. That I don't disrespect people in my preaching. You know, if you're falling asleep and I walk back there and slapped you, you know, that would that be appropriate? So it's important that in preaching, that I also am pleasing people. And we're going to talk about that concept. In Luke 2, verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." What was Jesus doing worrying about being in favor with man? Why does it say that for? Is it important? It is important. Is it important that you are in favor with God and man? Turn to John 17. We're going to look at the God end of it first. It was reading John 17 that got me to thinking along these lines. As I began to think along these lines, the subject grew. Now I want you to listen to Jesus' words in the light of the fact that he was a great personage, powerful personage. And yet look at his words in the light of a relationship between a son and a father. Okay? I want you to look at how important it was to him that he was in his father's favor, that he was pleasing his father. Okay? Now, if anybody had a right to think that they ought to be able to do their own thing and think their own way and so forth and not be so concerned about pleasing their father, it was Jesus. But I want you to notice the attitude that Jesus had here. Okay? And we're going to follow this to its natural destination. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his voice to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. How'd they know that? He told them. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and that they have believed that thou didst send me. Do you see this? I mean, he is very careful in his wording to exemplify a proper attitude to his authority. There was nothing in it of his own. It was all, I spoke the words you gave me to speak. I finished the work you gave me to do. Okay, there's no independence here whatsoever. Now notice, as we go on. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are. As we are. Note, keep that in mind. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Okay. He wants us to be one, even as he and his Father are one. Did you catch that? He wants us to be one with him and the Father and one with one another in the same sense that he is showing the oneness between him and his Father. Did you see the oneness between him and his Father? Did you pay close attention to that oneness? Where did that oneness come from? That was Jesus' relationship with his authority. And yet, Jesus was in favor with God and man. Well, you say, well, he wasn't in favor with all men. Yes, he was, in the sense that's important. What did Nicodemus say? Nicodemus was of the Sanhedrin. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Okay? Jesus gave none occasion for them. The court, when they were in court, they could not condemn him for any crime. As much as they wanted to, they could not condemn him for anything. Finally, they said, okay, are you the Christ? And they said, I adjure you by God. And he said, I am. Okay, they condemned him. They found something to condemn him. What was it? Claiming to be the Christ. Okay, so Jesus gave none occasion. In other words, he had favor with God and man. All of them had to admit, man, I can't get anything against this guy. There's no crime, there's nothing, I can't get anything against him. They didn't like it, but they had to admit it. Okay, what about Pilate? I find no fault in this man. Could they bring anything up? They couldn't. His wife said, have thou nothing to do with that just man. The thief on the cross said, we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Everybody knew it. The centurion said, truly, this was a righteous man. In 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience, that where they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation, your good conduct in Christ. Now, must we be people pleasers? I want to propose to you that you must strive to please everyone. In the context we are speaking of, God and man. Acts 24:16, the Apostle Paul is putting his whole Christianity in a nutshell. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. No duty left undone, no trespass, no occasion for them to not be pleased with me. No occasion for them to not be pleased with me. Let me put something here. Are people pleased with me? Okay, if not, why not? Okay, there's an option. Because I'm pleasing God. And that interferes. Okay? What's the other option? Pleasing self. Stop it. Here's your GPS. See this here? Here it is. It tells you where you are. It tells you where you're going. Okay? Stop and ask yourself, is everyone who knows me pleased with me? Everyone. Authorities, friends, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, grandparents. Everyone who knows me, are they pleased with me? If not, why not? Can you honestly before God say, well, the reason they're not pleased with me is because I'm busy pleasing God and there's a conflict there? If you can't say that, then it's this.
That's right.
There's no middle ground.
That's right.
Think about it. Think about it. Okay. Is everyone who knows me, I had to stop and think about this, okay? My in-laws, are they pleased with me? No. Why? This. That's the only reason. Do they have any real occasion for not being pleased with me? I've given them none occasion that I know of for not being pleased with me, except this. My dad, my mom, my uncles, my aunts, my cousins. Are they pleased with me? If not, why not? If I can always point to this, guess what? I'm on the right path. Guess what? I've got favor with God and man. If not, I'm not being righteous. Are all the people in church pleased with me? If not, why not? Are all my brethren pleased with me? If not, why not? If it's not this, it's this.
Right,
yeah. Now talk about bringing it home. I told you to put it right in your lap, didn't I? Yeah, think about it. You say, Brother Mark, is that a Bible principle? We're going to look at numerous verses. And am I what all my superiors and elders desire me to be? Am I what my parents want me to be? Am I what my mom wants me to be? My dad wants me to be? Are they pleased with me? Why not? If they are, wonderful. Now, you say, well, Brother Mark, what if they're ungodly and they're pleased with me? We're going to talk about that. We're talking about a context, okay? Am I fulfilling the expectations of all the people who know me? Okay, ungodly grandparents. They will look at your children and they will look at the other grandchildren. You know, I'm not telling you ungodly. We have grandparents who go to church. They're not godly in the definition of the word, okay? But you know what they've said to us? Well, you know, we're not worried about your children. You're not? You mean you don't think we're extremist cultists ruining their life? No, we're not worried about your children. In other words, you're pleased with what you see in our children, right? Admit it. You don't want to do it. You don't like the conviction. You don't want to be around it because it convicts you. But you're not worried about our children, are you? You're worried about the other grandchildren, right? Yeah. Okay, so what have you just admitted? And ultimately, you are pleased with what you see. Do I have to please people to be right with God? Yes. 1 Timothy 5:14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. In other words, the adversary, though he hates your Christianity, he has to have occasion to speak reproachfully. Okay? Now, the Democrats, they don't like Trump. Do they criticize his diligence? No. Do they criticize his morality? No. What are they admitting? They're looking for an occasion to criticize. Everybody knows what that is, right? And if I don't give anyone occasion to speak reproachfully, not even the adversary, then I am really pleasing everyone. I'm striving to please everyone. If they're not pleased, everybody knows why. Okay? If I gave them occasion to criticize, what are they admitting? They're admitting they're pleased with everything else. Mm-hmm. Right? Yep. They don't like they don't want my Christianity. They may not like me. They may not want anybody to vote for me. But what they're admitting is, we're criticizing this. Why aren't you criticizing that? Well, that's not to be criticized. So if I don't give them an occasion, whether they want to admit it or not, they're pleased.
Yep.
1 John 2:10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. What does that mean? That means if God asked everybody who knows this guy, why are you not pleased with him? They have nothing to say. There is none occasion of stumbling in the guy. You can't stumble over anything legitimately. You may not like him. You may not want to be around. You may not want to obey the Bible like he does. You may get convicted when he's around. Okay? But he that loveth his brother in a true biblical sense abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. If God asked you, why didn't you like him? Daniel 6:4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Why? They didn't like him. But they could find none occasion. So what do they admit? That he was pleasing everybody. He pleased everyone. He was faithful. They could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, that's a testimony of his enemies. Okay? Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Why? Because he understood that if people are not pleased with him, there's two reasons. Either this or this.
Yep.
Daniel, though he had enemies, they had to admit, there's none occasion. There's no fault. He's faithful. So ultimately, they were pleased. They just didn't like to be pleased. Okay? Because if they had found an occasion, they would have said, okay, now we have something to not be pleased with. Right? Okay, what are they admitting? Romans 12:17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. That means I have obligation of pleasing everybody. That means I have an obligation to where everybody that looks at my life, they will see that I'm honest. I'm sincere. This is right. This is proper. It's okay. There will be no occasion for criticism. 1 Corinthians 10:33. Listen to this. Even as I please all men in all things. Paul, do you have to do that? Yeah. Does everybody have to do that? Yes. Yes. Oh, I don't have to please them. Are you sure? Oh, it doesn't matter what they think. Are you sure? When it comes to judgment day, you're going to find out that God expected you to strive to please everyone. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many of others, that they may be saved. If I'm truly doing God's work and I want to be a testimony for Christ, I'm going to labor to never give occasion. Okay? Oh, well, I don't have to please all those people at the church. Yes, you do. Or you're not right with God. You know what the problem is? The problem is Christians as a whole have gotten the idea that as long as I'm pleasing God, I don't have to please anybody else. You're not pleasing God. You're not pleasing God if that's your attitude. You say, okay, when I come to church, what's going to cause me to be mannerly? What's going to cause me to not just talk over Brother Jeff and just, you know, step on Brother Paul's toes and bump into, and just kind of walk, you know, just be a bull in the china shop and not respect others? What's going to cause me to do that? I don't think I got to please anybody. As long as I'm pleasing God, I don't have to. You're not pleasing God.
Right.
Okay. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Are you listening? Are you a Christian? This is for you. Do you want to go to heaven? It's for you. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. I got to please everybody? Yes. Yes. You got to please everybody. Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. What's that mean? That means if it's not peaceable, it's because of this.
Right.
Because, okay, am I living peaceably with all men? If not, why not? This.
Yep.
If it's this, you're not righteous. If you're not living peaceably with all men, why not? It's one of these two. So as much as life, in other words, let it never be your fault. Did you do your part for peace? You pleased them as far as it was righteous to do so. Okay, that's what the Bible commands you to do. Let's go on. There's lots of verses here. Go back and read the whole Sermon on the Mount with this in mind. All of it is telling you this. Okay? You have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, it's in the same context, without a cause, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, without a cause, shall be in danger of hell fire. You say, Brother Mark, how do you know it means that? Because Paul called people fools, Jesus called people fools. Okay, obviously they weren't going against this.
Right.
There was a righteous cause, okay? You got to keep everything in context. So, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, you're bringing an offering to God, and there rememberest, thanks to the Holy Ghost, that thy brother hath aught against thee. Legitimate. Okay? It's not because of this. Is my brother pleased with me? No. Why? Is it because of this? Well, then you can offer your gift at the altar.
Yep.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
If it's because of this, what does God say? Leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First, please your brother. Be reconciled with thy brother. And then come and offer thy gift.
Yep.
Right? Okay. It goes on down the whole Sermon on the Mount. I'm not going to go through it all, but Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, Do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. It goes on to say, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You say, well, I don't care what they think. You're not a Christian.
Yep, that's right.
You need to care what they think. Well, I don't have to please them. Yes, you do. The only time you don't have to please them is when it conflicts with pleasing God and you have to please God.
Right.
Otherwise, you do have to please them.
Right.
Son, you do have to please that father. Is he not pleased with you? Is it because you're rude? Is it because you're lazy? Okay? Or is it because you're striving to do what is right and he's convicted by it? I was a son once. I had a father. I went to Bible school. I got converted. I came back. I got ridiculed for reading my Bible. I got called a holy roller. My dad was not pleased with me many times. But at the same time, when we would go to church, he would brag on me for my scripture memorization. He'd brag on me for my hard work. He'd brag on me for all the things that he knew. So what was he not pleased with? Did he really have an occasion? I worked hard to not give him occasion to be displeased for anything other than this. Because I wanted to save him. That's the attitude of a born-again believer.
Amen.
If you're unmannerly, if you're rude, if you're loud, if you talk too much, if you talk over people, if you have poor hygiene, sloppy dress, or too casual... By the way, do you know what the definition of the word casual is? If you go Google the word casual definition, it pops up and it gives the pronunciation and then number one says, relaxed and unconcerned. What does that mean? Unconcerned. I don't care what they think. That's our society, folks. Okay? I don't care if I please you. I don't care if you don't like the ring in my nose. I don't care if you don't, don't like purple hair. I don't care. You know what immodesty is? Immodesty is me saying to you, I have no respect for what you think. I have no respect for you. If I were to take my shirt off right now, I'd be telling all of you I have no respect for you.
That's right.
I don't care about pleasing you. Okay, modesty is a token of respecting others.
That's right.
If I were to, when I trespass, I am declaring I don't care what you think. Because if I was trying to please you, if I was trying to please my mom and my wife and my daughter and, you know, the families in the church, if I'm trying to please everyone here, I'm going to try to do that which gives none occasion of stumbling, none occasion of fault. How you treat others' property. I was shocked one day when I went into someone's house and there was a young man who wanted to marry their daughter, planning to marry their daughter. And he comes in and he lays on the couch and puts his feet up on the couch just like he owned the place. It said something to me. No respect. I don't have to please you. Your demeanor, your attitude, your deportment, you are communicating either that you are trying to please or you're not trying to please. The humble person is a person trying to be proper and pleasing towards everybody. I've had him on the job. You take a certain person on the job, they're watching you, they want to please you, that you know, you can tell. You can tell when somebody wants to please. And you can tell when someone doesn't want to please. You can and you say, well, why? I can point out young men in this room that I've taken on the job who want to please. And you know what? It makes me want to take you again.
Amen.
The fear of God will show itself in a striving to be right with others in every area. Let me ask you, do you take advantage and use people? Or are you laboring to please? You know, there's different reasons for pleasing. I can please to get something. I can please to manipulate. I can try to please to use. But ultimately, I'm really not trying to please anybody but me.
Right.
Okay? If I'm really trying to be pleasing to those around me, then when they really find out what's going on, they'll be pleased. When they really know what's going on, they'll realize it's not a facade. And they'll be pleased. If you gossip and slander, if you mock others and scorn, if you lie and cheat and deceive, what are you declaring? You think you're going to go to heaven? You're not going to heaven unless you are striving to please everybody all the time. Wow, Brother Mark, I never heard that before. Well, you heard it now. Are you concerned about others' opinion of you? Well, I thought as being a Christian, I shouldn't be concerned. No. When I went to public school, I couldn't care whether they thought I was a cool dude or not. After I gave my life to Christ, I'm carrying my Bible to school. I couldn't care if they thought I was a nerd or if they thought, you know, but I was concerned about being a proper testimony.
Yes, exactly.
I didn't stand there holding my Bible and picking my nose. Why? I didn't want to give occasion to hinder the preaching of the gospel, right? I wanted to please them in the realm that would be, if not pleased, it's this. It's not this. It's not, you know, maybe please self, stupidity. I wanted, and you know what? There was a lot of people there at the school that didn't like me, but I was shocked how many times when they had a problem in their life, they came to me. When things really got bad in their life, they had trouble at home or their girlfriend dumped them or whatever their problem was, they came and talked to me. Why? Because I was pleasing them.
Yep.
Because they had confidence. Why did they have confidence in me? Because I had pleased them. Titus 2:11 or 2:1. Look who needs to please who. I'm glad that clock's not been changed yet. Titus 2:1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Okay, Timothy had to please Paul. He had to please God. He had to please the church. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, sound in charity and patience. The aged men had to please everybody in these regards. The aged women likewise. They had to please everybody too. That they and being behavior has become with holiness. Ladies, you got to please everybody. Just like it says here, okay? Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober. Oh, young women, you're supposed to be taught by the older women. Guess what? Young women, you're supposed to please the older women.
Yep.
Are the elder women in the church pleased with you, younger women? Why not? If you're learning and they're teaching, great. But if the elder women in the church are not pleased with you, why not? Why not? To love their husbands. Okay. Are the elder women in the church pleased with how the younger women are loving their husbands? Why not? Is it this or this? Okay. That they're supposed to teach you to be sober. They're supposed to teach you to love your husbands and to love your children. Are the elder women in the church pleased with how you younger women are loving your children? Oh, I don't have to please them. Yeah, you do. Yeah. Oh, I just got to please God. You're not pleasing God.
That's right.
Unless you're pleasing them. God set them as your teachers. Younger women, you don't think you're accountable to the older women. Everybody's accountable to everybody in this regard. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Younger women, you need to please the older women. They're trying to teach you this stuff. Obedient to their own husbands. Younger women, are the older women pleased with how you obey your husbands? What right is it of theirs? Right here. Okay. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, listen up. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Young men, Are the older men in the church pleased with you? Young men? Are the older men in the church pleased with you? Why? Why not? You say, well, I don't have to... Think again. In all things, listen to this, verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. You know what that means? That means you've got to please everybody. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That cannot be condemned. I mean, my speech has to please everybody. So they can't condemn it. And you say, what about people in the world? That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. The neighbor down the road, oh, he cusses all the time. He don't care about God. It doesn't matter to him. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Let him hear a Christian say a cuss word. And you don't think it matters? That's it. That's all he'll talk about next time he goes to town. Let him hear the preacher cuss. Let him hear the preacher's son cuss. Oh, he don't care. Yes, he does. That they may have no evil. They know it's evil.
Right.
Okay? And when they see you doing what's right, even though they don't want to do it, they're pleased. Okay? Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters. And please them well in all things. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. Now, what report would others give of you if God called them in for an interview? Young women, what would the elder women say? Would they say that you're teachable and humble, or that you're a know-it-all and you won't listen? What would the husband say, young women? What would your husband say? What would your children say? What would the elder men say? What would the contrary part say, young women, if you were called, if God called them in for an interview? Young men, what would the elder men say? What would the parents say? What would the elder women say? What would the sisters say? What would the brothers say? 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conduct, conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I got to be an example to everybody. Yeah. Every young man. You've got to be an example to everybody. Okay. Is everybody in this room pleased with your example? If not, why not? Wow. Brother Mark, this is I had never seen it so quiet in here, Brother Jeff. Galatians 5:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Okay, if God called the tutors and governors in, what would they say? Oh, I'm going to obey my parents, but I'll play tricks on the school teacher. That child had to be taught to please those tutors and governors. Not just dad. Okay? 1 Timothy 5:1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. What testimony would they all give of you? Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. In other words, he's saying, all of you, please, everyone. A child who is raised feeling the need to please, feeling the duty, the demand to please, will be a blessing and grow to be an honor to God and his parents.
That's right.
A child who is raised with the expectation of being pleased will be a monster and a shame to both God and man. Here's your GPS, parents. Does your child have the demeanor of feeling the need and the necessity to please everyone? Big sister tells her to come here, she comes here. Big brother tells him, hey, would you do that? He does it. They feel the need to please. Or Are they the one that's expecting to be pleased? And if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to scream. I'm going to throw a fit. If you let a child grow up with the expectation of being pleased, thinking that, you know, I've got to like it or I'm not going to eat it. I want to play. I want this toy. If you raise a child with the expectation of being pleased, it's going to be a wreck.
Right.
Have you ever seen any of those wrecks? I've seen lots of wrecks. And they all came from children. And those young men, those young ladies, okay, while they were growing up, they didn't have the spirit of pleasing. They had the spirit of being pleased. There's a big difference. Listen, parents. This is a key. Where you're at and where you're going. If one of the elder women walked up to one of my daughters and said, "Hi," my daughter had better say, "Hi," with the spirit of, I want this to be a good interaction. If one of the elder women in my church asked my daughter, "Hey, would you help me?" They should say, "Yeah, sure. Be glad to."
Amen.
Would you pick that up? "Sure, I will. Would you clean up this mess for me?" "Yes." Why? It's a spirit of feeling the obligation to please.
Right.
Everyone. Who do you not have to please? Well, the only time that not pleasing can even be a part of it is when I'm pleasing God, therefore there's a conflict here.
Right.
Otherwise, you got to please.
Right.
See, that's beneath me. That's the problem.
Amen.
I'm bigger and better and more important than that. That's the problem.
Amen.
A wise son maketh a glad father. And that includes a daughter. A wise son maketh a glad father. I just read two different places in the Scripture. It said the same thing, by the way. Every time. A wise son maketh a glad father. Every time! You take the old drunk, and his son gets converted, and starts living godly, and does what is right regardless of being beaten by his father. He responds properly. That father, when he's going to look back and he's going to say, "Wow, what happened to that boy? Oh, he's a lot better than I am." He's going to be a glad father if he had a wise son.
Right.
It's never going to work the other way around. He may not act glad at the time because he's convicted. But a wise father is always, a wise son is always going to make a glad father. A wise daughter is always going to make a glad mother. Why? Because wisdom has to do with the fear of God, and the fear of God has to do with giving none occasion. The fear of God has to do with pleasing everybody all the time and never feeling above that.
Right.
Never feeling like, "I don't care what you think. It doesn't matter what you think." Every problem in this church roots back to somebody not feeling their obligation to please. Every time. When I went to first grade, I had been raised in a home where I was supposed to please. There was no options. Okay? When I went to first grade, my mother told me, you know, we walked 4 or 5 blocks down the street to Cortez Elementary School. My parents didn't take me to school. As children, we all went out, walked down the sidewalk to school. You wouldn't dare do that now in that same neighborhood. You wouldn't dare to let your children do that. But then it was okay. Although we had a couple incidents where people would stop, and my parents told me, if anybody ever stops, ask you to offer you a ride or to give you something, you run up to the house right there and knock on the door, or just go in. You run up to the house that's there and go in as though it's your own house. So, you know, it wasn't totally unheard of. But anyways, I walked to school that morning. My mother instructed me. She said, "You go right in the classroom. You sit in your desk. You fold your hands and put them on your desk. And you don't talk to anybody." So, okay, first grade. I walked into Miss Hip's class. She wasn't in the room yet. I walked over and I sat down in the desk. I think we'd already picked our desk when we registered or whatever. I sat down at my desk. I folded my hands and put them on my desk, and I just sat there quiet. Everybody else run around like a bunch of wild Indians. They were expecting to be pleased.
Yep.
I've been taught to please. Miss Hip walks in the classroom. I'm sitting there. She starts walking my direction. Oh, boy. She walks over to me. She walks over to me and she puts her hand in my head. And she says, "Children, I would like you to look at how this young man is sitting here. That is how all of you should have been doing." Of course, I felt a lot better then. I didn't know what was going on, what was going to happen. 1 Samuel 2:26, "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor with both the Lord and also with men." Was that necessary? Absolutely. Proverbs 3:1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So are the people in your life pleased with what they see in you? Is everybody in this church pleased with you? Does it bother you if they're not? Do you feel the need to give explanation when your example is in question? I'm hitting nerves. Because if you're proud, you're saying, no. If I'm rubbing the fur the wrong way, guess what? The cat needs to turn around.
That's right.
Right.
Is everyone pleased with you? Are all the parents in this room pleased with you, young man, young woman? If not, why not? If I do not strive to please people, there's a problem. Hebrews 13:17. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account." Do you realize that on Judgment Day, your Judgment Day will include the testimony of people who knew you? That's only the proper way to run a court. Paul says, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the earth?" How's that going to happen? We're going to give testimony. Ephesians 5:17. "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." What does it say? Goes on down. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands." Wives, are your husbands pleased? You mean I got to please him all the time? Let me know what time you don't want to please him. Let's talk about when you don't feel the need to please him. It's one of these two.
Yep.
It can't be anything else.
Right.
"Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives." Okay? Husbands, are your wives pleased? Well, I got to please God, not her. Oh? You know, there's times when my wife is not pleased. It better be because of this and not this. He goes on to say, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor thy father and mother. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Everybody's accountable. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." You know a good way for wives to keep their husbands out of the ministry? Tie his hands so he cannot leave the home. Embarrass him by not being what you are supposed to be. Discourage him by doing the devil's, the accuser's dirty work. And he will never preach. Proverbs 27:15 says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious wife are alike. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind and the ointment of his right hand which bewrayeth itself. Do you know what verse 16 means? Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind and the ointment of his right hand which bewrayeth itself. Do you know what that means? It's talking specifically about the fact that if a husband has a contentious wife, that she shames him publicly. She's a public embarrassment and a public discouragement to him. And trying to hide her is like trying to hide the wind. You ever tried to hide the wind? Or the ointment of his right hand. Okay, if I went out and got diesel on my hand, I came in here and tried to hide it, my wife would say, "What I smell? I smell diesel." I smell, like, no, you don't. You know? Yeah, you do. Or the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth, which exposes or pronounces itself, announces itself. You have a contentious wife, an unsubmissive wife. You can't hide it. You might as well try to hide the wind. It's going to show, right? Well, when it shows, you are defeating your husband spiritually. A man who cannot lead his home due to his wife's stubborn, unteachable spirit is a frustrated, discouraged, and defeated man spiritually. Wives, is your husband pleased? Is he pleased? You say, well, he expects the house to be spotless. Okay. If he's not pleased, why not? It's one of the two. You say, well, I can only do so much. God knows that. Maybe he's an unreasonable fella. Okay. God knows that. But it better not be this.
Right.
Are you being the daughter that your father and mother want you to be? Are you being the son your father and mother want you to be? Are you being the member that your church wants you to be? Are you being the husband and father God wants you to be? But let me ask you this. Are you the young man that Paul would want you to be? If Paul were here, would he be pleased? If Timothy were here, would he be pleased? If James was here, would he be pleased? Ladies, if Mary was here, would she be pleased? Let me give you something else here. Up here is God. Here's you, and here's others. Now, if I'm not pleasing God, it puts others in a bad spot. Because they're obligated to please me and God, and now I am forcing them to make a choice.
That's right.
That's called sowing discord.
That's right.
That's called causing schism. Because others, they are supposed to please everyone, right? Ultimately, they're supposed to please God. But if I am out of order, if I'm not pleasing God, then I make it hard on others. Question. Will people please God when they please you? Think about it. When they please you, will they please God? They will if you're over here. Okay? Or must they displease you to please God? Romans 14:15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. In other words, when I'm serving Christ properly, I am pleasing God and men. In the sense that there is none occasion, nothing that they can say. It says, it goes on to say, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. The Bible says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Why? Because He understood this. Are you in favor with God and men? 2 Corinthians 4:2. Paul says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, listen to this, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Did you get that? Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What he's saying is, we are living in such a way that we are pleasing everybody and God too. And if we're not, it's because of a conscience. I mean, we're saying, okay, what do you have against us? They're commending themselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, I'm trying to please everybody. And if you can find somewhere where I'm not pleasing you, it's because of God. Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. The law means the law says I have to please everybody. That's right. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. No ill. It's everywhere, folks. It's all through the Scripture. Acts 24:16 we read, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Listen to this. Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. 1 Corinthians 10:33, even as I please all men in all things. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Some of those we read already. It's all through the Scriptures. Now, here's your spiritual GPS. Are you paying attention? Ask yourself right now. Is there anybody who is displeased with me? Am I pleasing everybody? If not, why not? Is it because I'm busy serving God? If not, you're not right with God.
That's right.
Do you understand that? Who's not pleased with you? Is there anybody not pleased with your life? Why are they not pleased? Is it because of your godliness? Is it because you're pleasing God and they don't like it? If not, then you need to change. If they're not pleased because of your rudeness, your unmannerliness, your lack of respect, if they're not pleased with you because of your bad example or whatever it be, you're not pleasing God either.
Right.
Oh, Brother Mark, you're saying I got to please everybody to go to heaven? Exactly. Exactly. Let's stand. I have met people, and you have too. Okay? It's not hard to pick out those who desire to be pleasing and those who expect to be pleased. Y'all ever see the difference? Yeah. Yeah. A child who grows up with everybody working to please them, it's not going to be good. It's going to be bad. But a child who grows up being taught to be pleasing. Say thank you. Say yes, sir. You teach them to respond properly to everybody. To do that. You know, don't leave your stuff laying on the floor. You think everybody wants you leaving your boots laying on the floor? Pick up your boots and put them away. Why? Because you need to please everybody in this house. Oh, because mother's not... Well, that's just mother. If your mother's not pleased, there's only two reasons. It's either because you're so godly that you're convicting her, Or it's because you're not right with God. True humility is the weight and understanding that I have to be pleasing to everybody. I have to treat everybody properly. I have to do good unto all men. I have to please all men in all things that I might by all means save some.
Yes.
And if I think I'm exempted from that, if I think that there's somebody I really don't have to please, I need to ask myself why. Or if there's someone who's not pleased, why? Why are they not pleased? You want to know where you're at spiritually? What I gave you this morning, if you'll use it, will tell you where you're at and where you're headed.
Yep.
Any thoughts from the brethren before we pray?
Wow. I think I need a new pair of shoes. And I won't still taste. This is a perfect message to teach, to show where we all need to grow and we all need to learn and we all have that capacity to continue to grow, because some of these things are blurred, have been blurred in my perception. The idea of the distinction between pleasing men for the sake of pleasing men, the distinction of pleasing men for the sake of pleasing God at the expense of myself,
right,
is vast.
Yes.
And this is something that I know I need to embrace, and I think we all need to just embrace this. This is phenomenal. This is great. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, when the Lord, as I was reading John 17, and I was just soaking in how Jesus was referring to His authority, I started out by saying, okay, in my mind, we are expected to please our authority this way. And then I got to realize, no, we got to please everybody this way. The Bible, back there in John 17, Jesus said that they may be one as we are one. Okay, that's what we're talking about this morning. How is that going to happen? Are you one with the church the way Jesus is one with His Father? Well, there's a lot of laying down self. We've got to be one. I can't be displeasing people, trampling people, acting inappropriately with people, and then us be one. It's not going to happen. Everybody has to be pleased with me to be one with me. There can't be anything that... You know, why are people having a struggle about voting for Trump? We understand. There's things that don't please us. Okay? We can't be one with the Republican Party or any political party. Okay? We can vote for them because they're the lesser of two evils. We don't want Hillary in there. Okay? Yes, we all understand that. But I can't be one with Donald Trump. Okay? Now, in the Church of Jesus Christ, we're supposed to be one. Even as Jesus and the Father are one. That means you all have to be pleased with me.
Yep.
If you're not pleased with me, it can only be two reasons.
Right.
If it's the lower reason, I'm not right with God. If it's the upper reason, then you're not right with God.
Right.
But if we're going to be one, we got to realize it. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts before we pray?
I remember at Verizon when I went to the management to ask if we could have a Bible study and use the conference room. It was pretty much unheard of in a large corporation like that. Well, they considered it and they said, yeah, but they told me, and this was a non-Christian person, they told me, said, be above reproach. And that meant... Everybody was watching. Nobody was going to complain about what we were doing because they could actually see some good things happening behind it. Didn't mean they agreed with it.
But don't give occasion.
But I can promise you that when occasion came up, when there was a conflict between a manager and somebody who had been in the Bible study, that was one of the first things that was brought up. Isn't that one of the guys in your Bible study group? I see the need here. Like Jeff said, the application now to ourselves is the main thing. How do we do this?
Do I really feel... I mean, all my children better learn to please everybody in here. And if you're not pleasing to everybody in here, you say, well, my friend wanted me to do something that was wrong, and so I can't please them. That's right. You can't please them because you're pleasing God, because you're pleasing your parent. But if your friend has a toy that you want and you go up and jerk it away, you're not pleasing them, but that's because you're being bad. Okay? My children, okay, if they're talking in church, they're not pleasing people. They need to understand that that's an obligation. Well, I don't have to. Yeah, you do. Yeah. You got to please everybody. Let's pray.